back in, everyone, to a fantastic new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. Today, we are heading back to one of our favorite off-Broadway theaters, the Irish Repertory Theater. And joining us to talk about our show today, we have the actor and director, Ciarán O'Reilly. He is here to talk to us about Irish Repertory Theater's presentation, Philadelphia, Here I Come. It's playing now through May 5th at Irish Repertory Theater, and you can get your tickets and more information by visiting irishrep.org. We had the very, very immense pleasure of seeing this show, and it was absolutely lovely. It's such a fun comedy, if you will, in ways, and you will want to definitely check it out, this beautiful story. And I think the best person to tell us more about this is probably the expert on it. So let's bring on our guest, Ciarán. Welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
I'm so excited to have you here and to be talking about this show that I really had such a wonderful time at, Philadelphia, Here I Come. What a story. What a show. I mean, bravo to everyone involved in the cast and creating this. Bravo to the playwright and bravo to you for really putting this wonderful interpretation up on the stage. Why don't we start by having you tell our listeners a little bit about what Philadelphia, Here I Come is about.
So Philadelphia, Here I Come is a play set in Ireland in the early 1960s, where a boy is about to depart to go to the United States at the behest of an invitation from his aunt in Philadelphia. And he's leaving for a lot of different reasons. One of them primarily is that we're a romance that had gone awry, and his girlfriend that he loves and adores went off and married some big shot. And he also has issues with his father. He's an only child. The mother had died in childbirth, and he was raised by a father who was at best is uncommunicative. And they have a tough time just reaching out to each other. So this play is set on the night before he leaves, and he is having all sorts of doubts. I would say one of the prime things about the play that makes it unique from other dramas is that the main character in the show, his character's name is Gar O'Donnell, is played by two people. There's the public self that everybody sees and hears. And then there's the private self where only he hears, and he holds forth on everything that goes on around him. And it's that particular niche that that Brian Friel took on that makes it into something really special.
Yes, I love all that. That I didn't want to give that part away. I wasn't sure if I could, but the fact that there are two parts that we get to see of that lead actor is really fantastic. Two very dynamic parts. And it's fun a lot of the time to see them almost debate each other, you know, or act stories out. That's another really fantastic moment in the show, you know, so brilliantly put. So I'm curious to know, how is it that you came upon this piece?
Well, it's very autobiographical for me in a lot of ways. I grew up in a very small town in Ireland, and Brian Friel's mythical place that he has set nearly all of his plays is a town called Ballybeg, which actually doesn't exist in Ireland, but Ballybeg is in the Gaelic for it is Ballybeug, which means small town. So I grew up in a very small town, about 500 people, and my father was a county councillor, politician, and I love my father very, very much, but it was, I would say that I could count on my hand the number of like in-depth conversations that we had throughout our lives. And so the characters that surround us, the boys in town, his pals, girlfriend, the schoolmaster, the local priest, all ring so, I know them so well because it was my life growing up. So when Brian Friel, when I first read this play, I thought, oh my God, he must have lived in my hometown. He must have known these people so well. So I did this play. This is my fourth time out with this play. I did the role of the public self back in Dublin in Ireland. Then out here, when we started the Irish Rep 35 years ago. And in our second season, I played Private Gar. Then 20 years ago, I directed it again for a new set of actors. And this time now I'm doing it again with a whole new set of actors. And now I'm playing the old man. So it's come full circle.
That is so wonderful. I love that. Now, I want to snowball off of that a little bit because, you mentioned you've come full circle with this, what this show means to you. What was it like developing this particular iteration of the show?
Well, I approached it like I approach anything that I'm going to direct. It's like it's as if it's been done for the very first time. It's the only way to do it because for most people in the room, it was the very first time. And each person, each character, each actor, brings their own story to it. And if there's anything I think that I'm good at in as a director, it's allowing people to find things themselves. Because there's nothing like that, because then they own it and it becomes the very fabric of the show. And so getting into the room with all of these people, I mean, I know I'm there as to bounce things off. Does this feel right? Is that the right? But then I just feel so blessed with this cast. They all were so willing to just jump in and find their way, especially AJ Shively and David McElwee, who play the character of Gar. They're really just such adventurers, those two. And they dived in and they just threw themselves into, ridiculous things just to see if they could find, particular moments that rang true. And it was just utter joy to be with them. I don't know if that answered your questions, Andrew, at all or not.
Yes, no, that is so wonderful.
Well, we have some wonderful old timers who've done many shows with us on the stage as well. Like I'll particularly want to mention Terry Donnelly, who plays the role of the housekeeper, Madge. Terry has been like working with us for well over 30 years, and she's never less than stellar in anything that she does. And there's so many others: Ciarán Byrne and James Russell, Tim Palmer, Emmett Smith. Deirdre Madigan. I don't have names in front of me, so I'm sure I'm going to be forgetting, some people along the way. Patrick Fitzgerald, I have to mention, because Patrick was in our very, very first show that we ever did at Irish Rep in 1988. And when we did Philadelphia, Here I Come for the very first time, I played private and he played public. And now he's back as the schoolmaster and as Uncle Con. Coming from America, so he plays two roles, and then of course the other is Claire O'Malley, who plays Katie Dugan, which is and she manages to break your heart with her predicament as well, where just things just they missed each other in the night. So much of this show is about things like that, of people just missing these opportunities that just would a word at the right time and the right place. Could have changed their lives. If he had been brave enough to state his feelings to the father, it would have all been a done deal. He wouldn't be going to America. If the father had expressed some of the things that he expresses when his son is not around, it would change the whole dynamic. So therein is the drama, therein is the heartbreak, and therein is the comedy as well, because it's all so human.
I kind of want to lean into that idea that you left us with, and I'd love to know what is the message or thought you hope audiences take away from Philadelphia? Here I come.
Well, the one thing that's I'm absolutely loving, especially this time around, because there's so much polarization, in the world, and especially in this country, is just the universality of this play, of this story. I know last week we had a group of students in from Stuyvesant High School, and I mean, half of the audience was Asian on that day, and just their response to the show, and like looking at it, it felt like he says, "Hey, you're telling our story. You know, it's a story of immigration and of people having to leave from one place, or their parents having to leave from some place and assimilate into another culture, and just the pain of what that is, and what half the world has had to do, you know, is to move on to people. And you almost want to say sometimes this play is for anybody who's ever had a father. You know, it's for everybody, and it just feels. You know, that's what I feel is so special about this play, that it's not just an Irish story that's going to be understood only by, you know, an Irish or Irish American audience. This is a story that just transcends so many boundaries.
That is lovely. And that leads to my final question for this first part, which is, who do you hope have access to this piece?
I hope and that everyone has access to this piece. I think that anyone can find their way into it because it hits so many buttons, you know, throughout it. It hits, you know, failed, you know, romantic relationships, communication, just communication between not just your parents, but your friends, you know, your teachers, your priest, you know, whatever it is, just trying to break through. And because of the device that Friel uses of allowing the boy to have both his inner feelings right out there shown on display, and his own, you know, more taciturn nature of where he's more monosyllabic, you know, in his responses, and yet he has an inner mind that is just ravishing and you know, so interesting and just full of ideas, and it makes you think that all of us as human beings have this, you know, that if you sit down and for a while and just, you know, you're sitting on a park bench and people are walking by, and where your mind goes, you know, and what you imagine yourself to be, you know, like within the space of this play, he is at, you know, by times a conductor at Carnegie Hall, at the same time being a soloist, at the very same time as being a champion football player. You know, all of these imaginations and all these yearnings that he has in this small town, it's just reeks of humanity.
Well, for the second part of our interview, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better. Pick your brain, if you will. And I would love to start with our perennial first question, which is, what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past, or are just some of your favorites?
Well, one of my favorites is the one we're doing right now, is Brian Friel. It was what I started in the theater because of doing a play with Brian Friel. It's called The Freedom of the City. It was one of those things. I was a kind of a lost youth. You know, I came to America when I was 18 and not knowing what the hell I wanted to do with my life. And I walked into a bar, as one does, you know. It happened to be across the street from a theater. They were doing a technical rehearsal and somebody didn't show up. And somebody was at the bar who just was, I was there absolutely happy, never been on a stage, having no interest or anything to do with theater. They said, "Why don't you stand in for this guy so they can get through their tech rehearsal? And he's giving evidence in court, so you don't even have to learn any lines, just read the evidence." So I went over and somebody put a spotlight on me as I read the evidence. And I thought, "Wow, this is fun." And I never left. That was it. The guy never showed up, so I did the role. So Brian Friel is the reason I'm in the theater. But I have so many favorites. You know, I'm a big, big fan of Eugene O'Neill. I'm a huge fan of Conor McPherson, the Irish author. Sean O'Casey is somebody I've done so much. I mean, the Irish classics. John Millington Synge, I was, you know, my second role after doing that, giving evidence that time, was Playboy of the Western World, you know. So I did a big jump into things. I've got so many. There's some Deirdre Kinahan, we just did a play of hers. I'm just very fond of her work. Marina Carr's work. Yeah, I've got a lot of favorites.
That is a wonderful list, first of all, some great names. But second of all, I love that story of basically how you found your way to the stage. That is amazing. Well, I want to build off of that story, and I want to ask, what is your favorite part about working in the theater?
Well, I was an actor primarily for the longest time, even before founding the Irish Rep, and it was an acting was my love, and part of finding co-founding the Irish Rep with Charlotte Moore, it was to so I could act. If somebody else wasn't going to hire me, I was going to hire myself, and take control of one's own destiny, which I would encourage, all actors to do, is to not wait for it to be handed to you, because there's just too many, this the competition is too hard. So go, if you really love it, go after it and do it. Of course, what that means that comes with is a lot of slog work and a lot of things that it goes unheralded, and is a lot of burning the midnight oil and dreary tasks. But that's the payoff. You get to do it. And then, about, I don't know, 20 years ago, I finally decided, oh, well, let me just direct something. And I found that I wasn't, that it was something I really enjoyed and had some success with, of bringing those stories to life and trying to do it in original ways. I'd say one of my favorite of all the ones that we've done, because it was a play that was had been certainly sent to the ash heap of history and saying it was unproducible and shouldn't be produced ever again, was a play by Eugene O'Neill called The Emperor Jones. And we decided that there was a way to tell that story that would make it live and that. And so with John Douglas Thompson playing the role of Emperor Jones, my pal Barry McNabb doing some interesting choreography on it as he makes his way through the jungle. It was one of the big hits of that season in 2009, and it was one of the ones I'm most proud of.
That is amazing. What a journey there as well. That's incredible. I love your advice for young actors too. That is absolutely, absolutely. Put that on a t-shirt, hang that on a banner. Absolutely. And now we've arrived at my favorite question to ask guests, which is, what is your favorite theater memory?
I suppose, it was very simple one. I suppose my parents lived in Ireland, so they didn't get to really see much of the evolution of me going, into the theater and that. I was pretty young when I'd left, and they didn't travel as much. But my mom came over when I was doing a production of Da by Hugh Leonard. Brian Murray was playing Da, and we were doing it at the Irish Rep, and she basically saw me in a sort of a big role, doing that. And she came back afterwards and says, "God, Kieran, you're very good." And that was the best thing I'd ever heard in my life, because it. I don't think I think she was surprised by it. She just thought it was something that that I did, and that it wasn't that, that I wasn't going to be on any professional level, really, that it was still sort of more like a hobby than that, Anyhow, I thought that was the best praise ever. It wasn't that you were great, you were very good.
I love that memory, though. That is such a wonderful memory. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Well, as we wrap things up, I would love to know, do you have any other projects or productions coming on the pipeline we might be able to plug for you?
Yeah, well, the final play of the real season is Molly Sweeney, which is coming up. It starts previews, I believe, on March 16th, or sorry, May 16th, and runs through June 30th. So we're very, we're very excited for that. That's a favorite play of ours. We did it maybe 15 years ago, and it was a big hit for us then. And we did it during the pandemic for some performances at that time, because we had a very robust, healthy time during That's an interesting word I used, a healthy time during the pandemic, but where we did, but we did a lot of big shows on, and we found our way to make technology work for us, you know, during that time. And Molly Sweeney was one of the first out the gate, and here we are back with it again. It's a great story.
That's so wonderful. I cannot wait to see the show. I'm so excited about that. And it leads to my final question, which is if our listeners would like more information about Philadelphia, Here I Come, or about you, maybe they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
Well, we have a website, www.irishrep.org, where all the information and all the shows are can be found there.
Wonderful. Well, Kieran, thank you so much for taking
Well,
the
thank you, Andrew.
speak with me. This has been so lovely. I have been loving all this conversation, all these wonderful thoughts and memories. It gets me just even more excited about continuing to see stuff at Irish Rep. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. Thank you. Take care, Andrew.
My guest today has been the actor and director, Kieran O'Reilly, whose current show being presented by Irish Repertory Theatre is Philadelphia, Here I Come. It's playing now through May 5th at the Irish Repertory Theatre, and you can get your tickets and more information by visiting irishrep.org. We also have some contact information for our guest, which we'll be posting on the episode description as well as on the social media post. But hurry, get your tickets now for this fabulous show. We absolutely recommend it for you. We had a lovely time seeing the piece recently. It's only on stage from now till May 5th, and the show again is Philadelphia, Here I Come. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies, and keep talking about the theater.
In a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.